One thing I encourage people to ask themselves is very similar to what you just said. It's what would you do? Forget money, forget it all, forget all the responsibilities, just forget all that. If you could only do three things every day for the rest of your life, you can only do three things, what would they be?
Welcome back to TechWorks, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, everybody, to the TechWorks podcast. I'm your host, April Rest, and today we're with our guest, Bradley Rice, the founder of the Talent Stacker Salesforce Career Development Program and the new free Trailblazer Mentorship Platform by Talent Stacker. Welcome, Bradley.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I've heard some of your episodes. You've got some awesome guests that I've got to try to follow up. So I'll do my best.
Oh, thank you. I love the compliments. I'm here for them. Okay, so I probably think some of our listeners are like me, where they've seen so much about you on LinkedIn and in the Salesforce ecosystem with Talent Stacker. And I'd love to learn, like, who's the Bradley that we don't know? And, like, what has that journey been, right? Because you've been in the space, I don't know, 12, 15 years now.
Too
Tell
long,
us.
for
Yeah,
sure.
no. Tell us.
Yeah, so who's the me that people don't know? I think a lot of time, I hear sometimes, especially in, like, in real life meetups, right? The people sort of put you on this pedestal, or they get to know you based on, like, what you post about on LinkedIn or what you talk about on your podcast or your YouTube channel or whatever else. Right. And that's definitely a version of my life, right? That's a big part of my life. And like you said, I think I landed my first Salesforce job in late 2010. So yeah, it's been a long, long time. Right. And so I think the me that people don't get to see, that maybe my family and close friends get to see, is that actually I feel relatively insecure about a lot of the things that I put myself out there for. But at the same time, I don't mind putting myself out there. I don't mind being wrong. I don't mind being corrected and learning and challenging myself to new things. So I think sometimes posts that I put out or content that I put out can sometimes look just so confident and wow, like, you're brave to do that. And it's like, I don't know, like, I definitely let some of the internet, I don't want to call it hate, but just insecurity get to me sometimes. And I've worked through that. That's been a big part of founding a company and it actually being successful, right? Like, you never know. And things really took off in much bigger ways than I expected with Talent Stacker. And I had to work through a lot of my own personal sort of self-doubt. Do I deserve to be here? Am I really an imposter? And the more you grow, the more you, number one, feel confident, but then also the more you become a target for people to write an article about or whatever else. And you have to learn to, like, roll with those punches sometimes. So I'll say I am very much a person and I don't mind being transparent as a person. I think once you get to know me, you know that I don't mind talking about anything. And I think that being cognizant of the realities of being human and not trying to pretend to be some kind of robot that, you know, just takes it all in and doesn't have to worry about the impact, you know, is what would be wild to think. So yeah, I've got my own mental stuff. And, but I would say ultimately I've got an incredible support group in my family. I've got an incredible support group at Talent Stacker, the Talent Stacker community, the Salesforce community at large. I mean, it's hard to not feel awesome when you've got so many people beside you and behind you. I'll say that's sort of the real me. I grew up on a cattle farm, so I don't come from a tech background. I come from a very I guess you would call it blue collar, but I don't know what to call it. It's just working with our hands. And so I definitely am rooted in enjoying the outdoors. I definitely feel stuck if I have to stay inside all day long. But I also don't like getting in a car and driving for long. So I like to just walk outside and see what's out there. I kind of broke into this tech career on accident. I never saw myself as like a technologist or somebody who was going to get into technology as a career path. I wanted to be a high school teacher. That was my goal. I really loved personal finances. And so we can get into all that, but I wanted to be a high school teacher. Never dreamed I would make Salesforce dollars. I thought I was going to be making maybe like 40, 50K for the better part of my career. So this has been sort of a, I don't know, a eye-opening and opportunity to experience a lot of things in life that I didn't necessarily think I was going to. So I've enjoyed it, but I don't want to take up too much time. That's a quick breakdown of sort of what I thought I was going to do, where I come from, and the headspace I tend to stay in. Yeah.
I love that. I think I could listen to you talk for a long time. But you said something in that about having to overcome self-doubt, and I would love to like peel that onion, to use a really
Yeah.
cliche phrase. What kind of thoughts did you have, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, I think early on I had applied to, or I guess I'd been nominated to be an MVP, a Salesforce MVP, early on when we had started Talent Stacker. And what a lot of people don't know is that I operated free community groups helping people land jobs for 3 years before Talent Stacker started, right? So when people ask me, like, do you think you'd still, do what you're doing if you didn't get paid to do it? And it's like, yeah, of course I would. I did it for, just as long for free as I have done it for paid. And I think once I started charging, the Salesforce ecosystem, I would say, is relatively unique in that there's almost an expectation that everything is free. And I think Salesforce has set the precedence for that, right? And we appreciate that. As a community, we appreciate that. The trailhead is free. And we have things like, historically we had certification webinar days, which we haven't seen too much recently. But we saw things like the mentorship program through Salesforce, and that was totally free. And just so many free things. And it's even like Salesforce charging for certifications, people will get upset about it, right? Like, oh, they're just trying to make money off of us and these retakes and this kind of thing. And the perspective I come from is like, man, like they're doing it for us. They've already given us so much. And like, we don't really deserve any of these things for free, but it's beneficial to them and their business, I assume. When they look at things behind the scenes, they go, there's a mutual benefit here for us having these free resources. And then I think we've seen, a lot of YouTube channels, a lot of PDF guides, those kind of things, podcasts like this, where there's so many people in this community willing to give back, no strings attached, totally free. So when I officially started Talent Stacker and decided, okay, we're going to have a paid program. Man, there's a lot that comes with that, right? There's a lot of pressure in this ecosystem that I'm going to get like beaten for having a dollar amount associated with what I'm trying to do. And I've had a lot of great people, surround me and say, like, no, absolutely, your time is valuable and you should be reimbursed for the time that you spend. And you can't dedicate your entire life to doing everything for free, or you're going to burn out and probably sacrifice time with your family, other things that you value, in order to give to people who ultimately are, 99% of them are not going to be at your funeral. So be careful where you spend your time. And so there was that. And I think having that doubt of having a paid resource at all was one thing. The other thing was, are these people actually going to get jobs, right? Like, there were so many programs at the time for, or courses that were, and I don't want like call anyone out. I think there's some great stuff and there's not some not so great stuff. But at the end of the day, it was mostly certification training, right? It was, we're going to help you get an admin cert, we're going to help you get a platform app builder cert. But what I didn't really see anyone doing was saying, like, I'm going to help you turn that certification into a paycheck. And that's what really everyone wanted. That's what they were. When they said, hey, I'm trying to get my admin certification, what they really meant was, I'm trying to get my admin certification so I can show value to employers, so I can apply for jobs, so I can get a job, and so I can start a career in the space. And that's what they really wanted.
Yeah.
But I felt like everyone stopped at the start line. And to me, the start line was getting a certification. And I understood that it was a lot of responsibility to tell someone, I would like for you to trust me with helping you get a job. And ultimately you're saying, I would like for you to trust me in helping to get you on a path that's going to provide for your family, that's going to provide for your future, that's going to allow you to feel stable in your financial life. And that's a huge responsibility. So I understand why most creators don't want to take that. I can help you get a 65 on a multiple choice test. I'm willing to take that, but I don't necessarily want to help you get a paycheck to, you know, pay for food on the table for your family. Right.
Yeah.
So there was a lot that came with that. And I would say that we do a lot of, there's a lot of psychology, there's a lot of counseling, there's a lot of sort of these armchair experts that we have to be while we help people get Salesforce careers. And that's it's a big responsibility to take on. And so in all of that, going back to the self-doubt, now I'd coupled, can I really do this consistently for years and dedicate to these people? Because they don't need a week of training. They don't need a 4-week boot camp. They don't need a 3-month boot camp. They need somebody in their court and take them across the finish line to job landed. And that was a big commitment. On top of that, now you're charging for this thing, and the ecosystem sort of frowns on charging for things in most cases. And I just felt like I was going to get pushback. And then I did, right? And so going back to, you know, getting nominated to be a Salesforce MVP the first time around, the piece of feedback that I got, that I was not supposed to get, I just happened to know somebody who was on the committee. And it was, he's just a capitalist. He's just trying to financially benefit off of our community. And he doesn't deserve to be an MVP because he's just a capitalist. And it struck a chord, right? Because I wondered, number one, is there some truth to that? Like, do I have blinders up? Am I really? And of course, you know, you've got those people, you've got family at home going like, are you kidding me? You did this for 3 years without getting paid a dime. How could you possibly just be doing this to make a buck? And I think when you surround yourself with the right people and the right support, you're going to have that self-doubt, but you can come out of it. It's very similar to a job seeker. If they're doing it by themselves, they can get that self-doubt and let it take them down. Or you can have that self-doubt, but then have people in your court and realize, you know what? Like, no, I got to let this go and I got to find a way forward, and I'm going to come out healthier and stronger on the other side of this. So I could go on for a while with the other things that sort of brought me down, but it'd be when a big creator would basically take a shot at you, right? Like somebody who you respect, or that, you know, was part of you growing up in this ecosystem. And then they take a shot at what you're doing, or they take a shot at your philosophies, those kind of things. Or you hear that somebody was at a Dreamforce or a Dreaming event and they said this about you, or this kind of thing. And it's like, ah, oh, man, like, but it is part of putting your neck out. And I can say 1000% certainty, it is well worth having the opportunity. You've got to put your neck out if you're going to really help people in big ways. And I would much rather keep helping people in big ways and take some personal shots than basically be selfish and defend and stay out of the way and say, I'm just going to duck down and nobody will bother me, but I won't help anybody. Or maybe I can help some people a little, but I'm not going to like dedicate to helping people. So there's a line to walk, but I think that was probably the biggest one, while also juggling running a business and learning to hire people and learning to acclimate to the job market as it changes over time. And, you know, all the things that go into running a business on top of being a face in the ecosystem. But again, it is it's a responsibility that I'm happy to accept. And I honestly think I'm well suited to accept it. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well suited to accept that. Yeah. What you're saying about the expectation for things to be free is really resonating with me, because I've given so much of my time with like friends and strangers, coaching and mentoring and like just answering questions, helping with this, that, or the other. And it's like exactly what you're saying. Like at some point, if I want to keep doing that, like I would need to find a way to monetize that because I only have a finite amount of time and energy. So like if that's what I want to be dedicated to, I guess thinking from more of like a selfish perspective or like maybe not selfish, but self-centric, without a negative connotation is,
I call it self first, because
yeah,
putting
self
yourself,
first.
there's nothing wrong with putting yourself first. I think selfish is such a, it's such a naughty word, but it like says who? I've heard that term used, in my opinion, incorrectly so many times. And I think selfish should be a good word. I think that putting yourself first is probably the best thing that you can possibly do. Because if you constantly put, I had somebody tell me this, they were like, look, if we all put each other first, then where do we end up? How does that work? Because we're all guessing at what's best for everyone else and trying to solution for everyone else's problems and trying to fix everyone else. What if we all started by trying to fix ourselves and then spend some time trying to help other people when they ask for help? Right. So no, I'm 100% with you. Be self first, because if
So
you have
first.
your if you have your stuff taken care of, then you're going to be much more capable of helping other people get their stuff taken care of.
Yeah, and I also think of it like I just like with other industries, it's very common. Not or like we can just take Salesforce, for example. Like you don't see businesses giving out free Salesforce consulting unless they've got a pro bono arm. And so it's kind of like, well, how is that any different? Like you've got expertise in
It's
helping
not.
people, right? Like it's not any different in my brain. So I kind of like, and this is gonna be an
And the
explicit.
only, I shouldn't say the only, but it's like anything else. When companies, for-profit businesses, right, are giving away things for free, it's like they say in like economics 101, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Like it's getting paid for. It's getting paid for through licenses that they're charging to their customers. It's getting paid for through some type of donations or foundation. If it's through a nonprofit arm of the company, it's getting paid for by someone. And they're not giving it to you for free because they love you and they want you to benefit. I mean, hopefully they are, right? I hope that there are some parts of this that are truly just for the greater good, right? But ultimately, if I'm in Salesforce's shoes, I want to create a trailhead because I want to empower my partners to do better business. I want to empower my customers to make it easier to train people internally or to hire people who have the training that they need to support the platform. Because if I don't supply that training, then we're probably going to have worse implementations. We're going to have situations where things are built and they're not best practice because it's hard to get to. And ultimately, you're going to end up not enjoying your experience with Salesforce and you're going to move to a different platform. So really, it's all part of a broader service where it's worth giving away training for free, as long as it's scalable on an online platform that's self-led. It's better to give that training away for free for the greater good of the revenue of your company. And I think anybody who's in the space knows that, right? Like we
Yeah,
know
it's a
that that's the
business
real.
model. Like,
So
yeah,
then
I
to
mean,
go to third parties like yourself or myself and expect us to just do everything for free because Salesforce does. When we give for free, when Salesforce gives for free, that's still feeding their revenue model. When we give for free, it's not. So unless we have a way to give for free that feeds our revenue model, it's not apples to apples. So you can't expect every, and I think there are a lot of people who did expect themselves to do everything for free and they're burning out, or they get to 50,000 followers and then they fall off the face of the earth and you go, well, what happened? Like it's no big mystery what happened. They burnt out. Like we destroyed them through demanding free for life. So There's definitely a balance there. And I think we've got to give respect to those. Of course, I'm biased, but we have to give respect to those creators who do charge, because is there value to what they do? And back to like what you were saying, you're doing a lot for free, right? Totally for free out of the goodness of your heart. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do, especially when you're proving to yourself that you know what you're talking about, right? Like once you've seen consistent success and you've been able to take mentees and time over time been able to provide incredible value to them, then, you know, I don't see any issue with taking it to the next step and saying, you know what, I know what I'm doing. I've got a proven track record. I've had consistency with the advices that I give, and I'm going to continue adding to the value that I provide. And sure, you can still give for free. Trust me, I am constantly giving free constantly.
Oh yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm also going to run a business because this is my passion. And if I have a choice, this is going to be my career, being able to do this instead of Salesforce consulting if I have a choice.
Yeah. And I also think about it in like a tiered model, if you will. Like I would love a podcast or like content that I put out into the universe. Like one of my goals is to always have something that doesn't have a paywall, so that it's out there, people have the resources, and if they've got the wherewithal and like the discipline and the will to make it happen on their own, like awesome, here are the tools, like you just need to go like figure it out, right? But not everybody is successful with that model, and not everybody wants that model. I'm someone that believes in shortening the learning curve by investing with my time and with my finances, and I think that resonates with a lot of people. So yeah, I'm totally with you. I think the whole, like, it's gotta be free, especially for soft skill mentoring or like soft skill coaching, where it's like, oh, I could just get a free mentor. Like, yeah, you could. And like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
probably could totally work for you, but that
Yeah.
doesn't mean that someone who's able to deliver results like Talent Stacker needs to be giving away those services for free. Like it's mutually beneficial, right? You get to support your lifestyle in pursuit of helping lots of people, which is like the dream, right?
Yeah.
So.
I think too, if I saw that there was somebody out there doing what we're doing for free and it was successful and we were literally just a distraction from that other free resource that was available doing it, then I might just be getting in the way at that point, right? Like charging people that could ultimately do it for free. But at the end of the day, it was true 3 years ago, and it's definitely true today. There's nobody out there that I've seen consistently helping people actually get to the finish line and land the job. Mm-hmm. So to me, we are still, I would say, more relevant today than ever before in helping people overcome these barriers for sure.
Yeah. And I think too, like I think there's something to be said about having community and accountability. And that's not something you're going to find on like the internet, even with a tool that's going to send you a push notification, right? Like it's not the same if you don't have that human interaction. And I think beyond like your curriculum and beyond maybe like the structure of your program, it's that human touch. So that's really what people need. They need their fears validated, especially when they're transitioning to a new career, right? With all of these kind of hopes and dreams on the line of being able to provide for their family without like, you know, working themselves to the end of things. But
Yeah.
I also love to talk. That's been like, I need to stop calling these interviews because I like to put in my fair share of my opinions.
Just a hangout session. That's right.
Good deal. Let's see. Yeah. Well, we had all these questions that we've gone down such an interesting like little rabbit hole. And I did have another question that came up about like you're at this point now where you've built this business. You've also helped, did I see like 1,000 people? Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's 1,300
jobs
landed through the program now. Yeah.
Yeah, which is and over $1 million in like salaries.
Oh, it's like,
right?
I mean,
more
the
more
average salary is like $70,000 per,
yeah,
it's like 72,000 per member. So every I mean, it's why the numbers got way out of control. I used to keep up with that. But I would say it's somewhere, it's approaching $100 million in salaries.
I'm sitting
it's
here like
crazy.
$1 million in salary, $100 million in salary. Wow, congratulations.
It's crazy.
That's like really fantastic. Where I was going with that question though is I'm curious, like your lifestyle design and like, you know, you've been, I think, in-house, you've been an independent consultant, like you're running, you know, Talent Stacker. Tell us how you design like your workday, how you worked through that. What comes to mind?
Yeah, I love the topic of lifestyle design. I would call myself at heart, and probably I've spent a lot of time since even high school until now. So say maybe the last 20 years. So the better part of my life, I've spent what I would call as like a lifestyle designer. It's always been about the values that I have in my life. And those can change over time. Like when you have a kid, your values change, or at least mine did. I've heard some people's don't, and that's totally fine. But my values definitely shifted a lot when I had a kid. And, you know, so these values shift and you have to constantly reanalyze what matters to you. So for me, I'll give you a day in the life, and then I will talk about lifestyle design all day long. So, a day in the life for me is I've worked 15 to 25 hour weeks has been my normal schedule, since 2016. And I remember it's 2016 because that's when my daughter was born. And that was when I decided if I could, I was going to claw back my time. And I knew that the biggest amount of time that I was going to have, with my daughter was going to be when she was young, before she got to school age. And I knew that those were going to be some really foundational years for her and for me to experience that time with her. So I thought, if there's one moment in this chapter of my life, right, this phase of my life, that I need to be working part-time and maybe saving less money and maybe not saving for retirement at all, maybe actually hemorrhaging money and my net worth going down a little bit every month, this is the time to make less money and align with my values. So, at that point, I actually quit my consulting job, making, you know, great six-figure income and on a trajectory to, you know, who knows what. The salaries are wild these days. And I was pretty darn good at what I did. And I quit that job and I took a part-time job down the road as a Salesforce administrator at a company. I was way overqualified for the position, but they offered me full benefits and part-time. And that was a negotiation, did not come easy. It took a lot of conversation, but I made it happen because it mattered, right? Because when things matter, then you should put the energy into it. And it worked out and I took a part-time job and I went from, I think I was making probably about $130,000 at the time. And then overnight I was making, I think about $60,000, that next day. But the paychecks were awful, just don't look at them. And the time with my family was awesome and worth every single penny. And the funny thing is, because I continue to be intentional, I found a way to continue to work part-time and increase my salary and get back to where I was and then make it even further past where I was. And that was for me through independent consulting or freelancing or whatever you want to call it. So I was able to do that, coached a lot of people into freelancing and independent consulting as experienced professionals, found my way to working part-time, making over $200,000, working about 25 hours a week. So that was a really fun sort of accomplishment. I definitely gamified it a bit and trying to like maximize what can you possibly do in 20 hours a week? Like what is the maximum possible output in 20 hours a week? So that was a lot of fun and it gave leverage. Like if we needed more money for something, I could pick a client for a 3-month project and make more money if I needed to, or if finances were good and we felt stable, then I could let clients go and maybe work only 15 hours a week. So it was really a beautiful design, especially for that time in my life. And then, I got to a point about 3 years ago when I started Talent Stacker, where I guess it's closing in on 4 years now, which is just absurd. But, anyway, where we had reached financial independence, and this was a big part of our lifestyle. So we did not need to work anymore. Now, if we wanted to advance our lives, like if we wanted bigger houses and bigger cars and vacation properties and all the things, right, that I've never honestly been that interested in, we would need to work more and save more and do all the things. So at that point, we had this pivot of, if you don't have to work for income anymore, do you want to keep working? And the answer was a resounding yes. It was like, yes, I want to keep working. I want to keep being productive. I want to put my energy out there. And I was looking for a way that I could do that in a more value aligned way, the way I wanted to spend my time. And again, we'd had this community group on Facebook, Salesforce for Everyone. It's still alive and kicking, and had that for 3 years. And that was probably the most fun I had in the Salesforce world, was helping people break into careers. And I was like, you know what? What if we took this full time? Like, what if I was able to make a few bucks doing this? And I remember my goal was like, what if I could make $5,000 a month? That'd be so cool. So I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to make it a goal to make $5,000 a month doing Talent Stacker stuff, right? And it went crazy. Like, it just went crazy. And I quit my job and I aligned all my 20 hours a week into this and just fully focused and made some really incredible hires. I think I figured out I was pretty good at hiring people. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Yeah. But man, I think my energy attracted other people with great energy and passion. And we ended up with just the most beautiful people that I've ever met in my life, working side by side to help the community. And it's, man, it is humbling to get to work with these people through the thick and thin of things that happen with the market, with the company, with our members, with just everything. Yeah, it's cool. So taking it back, lifestyle design. A day in my life, I work about 20 hours. I typically try to work maybe about 9 to 1 o'clock each day, Monday through Friday. Of course, do I respond to some LinkedIn DMs? Do I write a post because I have a thought? Do I answer an email to keep a staff member moving because they're at a block in something? 100%. But generally speaking, a day in my life is working in the mornings. That's why if anybody out there has ever tried to schedule a meeting with me, I'll bet you it was a morning meeting.
Love. I love your stories. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love like dreaming about like, okay, if money weren't, you know, if I had all the money in the like in the world more than I could like possibly dream of, like what would I be doing? I think that's so, it's so fun. And I think for our listeners too, like let yourself daydream, you know, like
I used to put people through this practice of, it was usually people who had goals. So my background is finance. Like I wanted to be a high school economics teacher. And because I thought I could empower people through better personal finances. And so one thing I encourage people to ask themselves is very similar to what you just said. It's, what would you do? Forget money, forget it all, forget all the responsibilities, just forget all that. If you could only do 3 things every day, for the rest of your life, you can only do 3 things. What would they be? And for me, it was like, I would definitely want to spend time outside every day. Like I need to be able to spend time outside. What else? I want to spend time with my family, right? Especially my wife and daughter. Like that means a lot to me. I want to do that every single day. And the last one I landed on took me time. I think I got it wrong a few times, but I realized my third one was work. And I don't mean work. It's one of those words like selfish, right? It's like, it's like a bad word. Like, oh no, work-life balance.
Right. Naughty word, naughty word.
Yeah. It's another naughty word. And I didn't mean work in terms of like working hard for the man or like leveling up or climbing a career ladder or whatever else. I meant that I wanted to do something productive. And for me, that could have meant putting up a fence because we decided to get goats on a whim. Or that could mean building a shed because we need more space to store something, or just whatever it is that work. It was just productive, pouring your energy into something that's challenging for an outcome. And my work is Talent Stacker for the most part. We also have a hobby farm and I enjoy that kind of stuff too. But my work that I enjoy putting in. So I get to be outside every day. I get to spend time with my family every day. I get to do productive work every day. It's exactly what I wanted, but it wasn't always that way, right? It had to be designed. So I would say, try to think of your three things. And if you can find those three things, odds are you don't have to wait until you retire to do them. You can design a life today that allows you to do those three things every single day. And once you figure out your values, usually people find out that the three things they want to do don't cost money, or they're very inexpensive. Now, you might say, I want to drive a Porsche every day. I want to eat a steak dinner at the fanciest steak restaurant every day. And I want to go shopping every day. And if that's you, then you got to have a great income. And that's okay. If that's your values, that's okay. But most people find that, you know, they want to get outside. They want to play some tennis. They want to go for a walk. They want to be able to go for a hike. They all these things. And it's free. Most of that stuff is free. They want to spend time with family. That's free. So what they tend to find out is that society has been pushing them to make more money and get promotions and climb career ladders to make the money that they need in order to have all the things that society said that they need to have. But when they really take a second to ignore society and the responsibilities and all the things that we think we need, you end up with like these three things, and they tend to be inexpensive. And it turns out you can design a life around those things much more quickly than trying to design a life around all the things society told you that you needed to have. And then once you get that figured out, you'll find that there's another like bonus to this, is that you don't have to stick to those three, and you can do 10, or you can do 50, or you can do one, and it's totally up to you. But dial in those three, and that can really help people tune in to better designing their lives. Cause you may find out, like, I got that job working part-time and I made $60,000, I believe is what it was, 60 to 70, something right in there. And I worked there for 4 years, and they offered me a raise every single year, and I declined their raise every single year. And most people are like, what? Like, you declined the raise? I declined the raise every year, and I negotiated for something else. I negotiated to work less hours. I negotiated to work less in office. I negotiated to have every Friday off. You know, so I negotiated not with money, but with my time, because I realized I didn't need more money, but I had this super finite thing called time. And if I could negotiate for more of that all day long, that's what I want over money. Yeah.
I love that. Oh, I'm so excited for our listeners. I also love that this went in a completely different direction than our prompts, which is just like
none
think
of the
beauty.
Questions.
None
listed.
Of the questions, which is like very April. I'm not sure if that's very badly, but
it's
very
also very
April.
Bradley, for sure.
Which I love. Right on. So I love to ask all of our guests if they have a favorite quote. So Bradley, do you have a favorite quote?
I do have a favorite quote. I cannot tell you the author. We can let the listeners, maybe they'll comment on wherever they're listening, and they'll remind us who the author is. But it's a concept. It's definitely not my concept. It's been said multiple times, but it's easy decisions, tough life, tough decisions, easy life. I love that idea. That's definitely one of my favorites. It's a driving force. I think I see it a lot in my personal life. I see it a lot with the members that we coach. Just like mild examples specific to Salesforce, like buy exam dumps and cheat on the Salesforce admin certification exam. Easy choice. You just made the rest of your career journey harder. You made your mental game harder. Like, you're not going to believe in yourself in interviews. You're not going to believe in yourself on the job. You're probably not going to get interviews or job offers anyway, because you're not going to be able to walk the walk. So easy decision, tough life. Tough decision, work really hard. Don't just learn to pass the test, but learn to actually apply the skills. Go beyond passing the test and actually learn the skills on top of it. Tough decision. Interviews, easier. On the job, easier. Getting job offers, easier. Tough decision, easy life. That's one example. There's all things like that. Saving money when you're young, straight out of college. Save as much money as you can, even if it's a dollar here and a dollar there. Compounding interest makes money with your money. tough decision. Those extra dollars could have been, you know, fun times out at, you know, the bar, getting a drink with your friends. It could have been whatever else, but guess what? Tough decisions leading to an easier life. So I love that concept. I'll throw one more in. One of our members said this to me, maybe they heard it somewhere. They landed a job and I said, I've watched you go through this process. It looked like it was pretty hard. And they said, choose your hard. And they said, my life was hard before this, right? So yes, this was hard. It was hard for me to pass this test. It was hard for me to get through these interviews. It was hard for me to believe in myself. Choose your hard though. It was hard for me to have the job I had today. It was hard for me to support my family on the income that I had. It was hard for me to commute to work in a city where it was driving me crazy. That was hard. So I had a choice between two hard things and I chose my hard, and my hard led to probably into that other quote, tough decision, easier life. So yeah, I love those concepts.
Yeah. That's something I challenged myself with. Like I've struggled with like overeating and like nutrition and weight loss. And that's something I constantly come back to, is like, I can make what feels like a very uncomfortable decision now. Or I can deal with the effects of being morbidly obese when I'm 40, 50, 60 and trying to keep up with my kids and grandkids. So it's like, either way, it's going to be hard, but like which hard is more aligned with me? Like actually, which hard is going to be a little easier? Like it's a little easier to take care of myself now than it is going to try to deal with all the repercussions if I don't start taking care of myself now, you know?
It's like, it's everything in life. It's tough decisions, easier life, constantly. It's when you save money, it makes it easier on you later in life. FOMO, right? Or not FOMO, YOLO, like you only live once, I should spend my money. Yeah, you're right. But guess what? Like, even if you do die young, so maybe you give that money to somebody else and they're able to have an easier life. Like big deal. Like if you've got your three things dialed in, then chances are they didn't need that money anyway for you to live, right? Like you only live once. Focus on those three things that probably aren't that expensive anyway. But you're right. It has to do with finances, health, relationships. Like, good Lord, you know, get into a serious relationship with someone and don't give it the time and attention that it needs. You're going to have a long, tough relationship. Mm-hmm. Put the energy in right now. Same thing with kids. I've seen parents with kids that decide when they're in middle school, they're going to start really buckling down and parenting them. And it's like, this is going to be a tough recalibration, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but if we started young, then I think we probably have better odds of seeing all those picturesque moments unfold, because it's constant and it's hard work. And it's the same thing with anything, like running a business, like posting on socials every single day, recording the podcast, like putting the videos up on YouTube, reaching out to the people that you need to reach out to for partnerships or whatever else. Like, it takes effort and you have to do it before you see the results. But then, man, when the results start to come, it made everything a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So it's just ongoing. I think those concepts really perseverate throughout life, pretty much in every aspect of life. It's like gardening, like plant the seeds, throw the dirt, put the fertilizer, add the water, like, and you get nothing out of it until you get something out of it. And it's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I needed these reminders today. Thank you. So Bradley, if our listeners want to find out more about you, more about Talent Stacker or the free mentorship program by Talent Stacker, where can they check you out?
All right. So we have free resources like crazy. I know one thing we didn't talk about today. Well, there's a lot of things we didn't talk about today. We could do just a podcast, just me and you chit-chatting. But I will say, if you want to, if you're an aspiring Salesforce professional, you're interested in Salesforce, but maybe you're earlier on in the process, Definitely check out the free 5-day challenge. That's at talentstacker.com/now. If you're a little further along, maybe you're close to getting your first maybe admin certification, or maybe you already have it, but you're still working on landing a job. The 5-day challenge is still a great place to go, but I would recommend looking into finding a mentor. And we also facilitate trailblazermentorship.com. Check that out. Very easy to apply. We are able to accept about 50% of all applicants who apply. So that is a lot. And if you don't make it this round, we do 6 cohorts a year. So hopefully you'll make it next round, and we'll send you everything you need, all the emails you need to reapply or whatever you need to do to make sure you're constantly being evaluated. It's a great way. You get one-on-one coaching from a mentor. You select your mentor. It's not randomly assigned. So you pick who you think is best for you, and they will agree on whether or not they think they're a good fit for you. And usually they agree. And you can get yourself a one-on-one mentor for 4 1-hour coaching sessions over the course of a month. So totally free through the generosity of the amazing mentors in the community. Those are the top places I would go. If you're listening to an audio show like this, you might enjoy listening to the Salesforce for Everyone podcast, which is a great place to hang out. Episodes 1 through 8 are dedicated to landing your first Salesforce job. But then I would just go by title and figure out what you sort of dig into. But those are all great places to go to get more information.
I love this. Yes, I forgot to mention the podcast, which is amazing because I like listening to that myself. Well, Bradley, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing about your journey and your lessons learned. And I have found your story to be very inspirational. I hope our listeners are able to take some gleanings from that. And yeah, I'll just look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you for everything you're doing in our space.
For sure. Is it cool if I hit the sign off for the podcast?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Awesome. All right. I got you. Here we go. Hey, everybody, if you're enjoying this show and getting value out of the episodes that April is hosting, then make sure you click subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. This lets those platforms know that you're actually enjoying it and that you're recommending it, and that'll get it out to more people. So just click subscribe wherever you're listening and go ahead and give April a 5-star review because she absolutely deserves it. And if you have any feedback, just drop a comment wherever you're listening. We appreciate you listening. So until next time. Bye.